we're going to have a ice level and Egypt.
A Mega
and,
Man level.
And a Mega Land.
The Mega Man one where you're like,
and then, yeah.
What? And then yeah. The witch is pooping eggs on you with big thighs.
Excellent day, my friends.
So, like,
welcome to Sit and Sock.
Sit and Sock.
I don't know why I say Sit and Sock. It sounds like German that way.
Have you
I
guys
am Kendrick, and I'm here with Kyle. Right.
I'm Kyle.
That's and Joe. I'm Joe.
And Kevin.
Oh wow.
He introduced all of us.
That's
yeah,
Kevin.
It was very organized.
You just took it. I was ready for
fucking
it.
Fucking knew it.
Has anybody taken to cleaning their house during quarantine?
We talked about that.
We already, because of Laura's necessity and OCD, like, we clean the house like all the fucking time. So it's really we've actually cleaned the house less in quarantine because we're just always fucking here.
Did I tell you guys about cleaning out my garage?
No.
Yeah, you didn't fix
okay,
this
okay.
First.
So I recently have been delving into I have a very interesting relationship with fast food because I'll eat fast food and then I'll like get sick of it or get tainted by it or get jaded by it or get scorned by it, and then eventually I'll go back and be like, no, Pizza Hut wasn't Pizza Hut. I just ate too much of it, or it wasn't Pizza Hut. I just got a bad pizza, and like the amount of justification I can do in my own head to justify going to places I know
you're
are going to
hurt me. You're a codependent enabler.
Yeah, yeah, of myself. Yeah, so. I did that with Taco Bell. I stopped eating Taco Bell for a while because I much prefer Del Taco. It's like my favorite place to eat Mexican food. And there's a Del Taco that's close, but it's far enough away that I'm like, oh, I should go to Taco Bell. No, I should go to Del Taco. Oh, I shouldn't go. That's too far away. And then I just eat at home or something. So it's like been working out kind of well, right? And the Taco Bell that's off 104th near our house, location spoiler, I guess, is the shittiest Taco Bell you could ever go to. It always takes forever.
The worst part.
The Taco Bell up off of 120th is very nice. It's a lot better, but not so good because every fucking Taco Bell in the goddamn United States fucks your order up one out of every three times you go.
Yeah.
And it's infuriating to me.
No, I get that. I get that. Because we would go to concerts down in like the center of Denver.
Oh, God.
And it was like
Taco Bells are all bad.
Well, no, this is very, very off of that. But we'd stop at this Arby's on the top of the hill of Sheridan.
Wait.
I love Arby's.
Sheridan in
what? Sheridan in, like, 36.
I know that one with the big sign,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right up there on the hill. Okay.
And, Sheridan in 36 has an Arby's? Oh, yeah. The one by the H Mart. By the Walmart and stuff.
My God, we got burned every time.
Right off of Sheridan, right?
Yeah, right off of Sheridan, right where Rocky Mountain Mineral is. If you are,
there's an old spaghetti factory there now, isn't there?
There's also a steakhouse. What was that steakhouse called? Shit, I can't remember.
Haven't been
there
in a long time.
But anyway, that we got burned every time with that Arby's, and we kind of got tired of Arby's. But then we started.
Arby's in general seems to have a bad quality control issue.
Man,
I feel like there are a lot of bad Arby's.
Yeah.
So that's
what
I think it is,
meats.
Kendrick. When you find the one that you like to go to, it's like a nirvana. It's heavy.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, we find
and
a good
we,
one.
And we
you
did.
Get it. Like, when I hit the Arby's on 104th is amazing, Kevin. And if you go to Arby's, you should always get a slider. Like, 100% of the time, you should be getting sliders.
Pretty
because their sliders
they're
actually
are the Euros.
Yeah, no, those
sure
are good, too.
That when that last time we hit it up, when you were here painting the house with us, that was the one, because I've kind of been obsessed with it lately, because we've had it like two or three more times since then, and it's been perfection.
Amazing. Okay, so I've been going to Taco Bell, and then we were talking about this a little off, and I want to kind of shorten the conversation a little bit, but I was giving Kendrick my rating of fast food places, and one of the metrics that I was trying to get at was what do we call that?
The burrito rigidity?
Burrito rigidity.
Flaccidness test?
It's not. It's like it's a burrito structure test, right? So like
burrito flaccid test is what I'm going to call it.
Okay.
Burrito
it's flaccid. Like it's a straight. And it involves in something
is that
else.
Going on the banding
can you
list?
Hold the bottom third of the burrito and then have the top two thirds of the burrito stay where it's at? And now, not a lot of places can 100% succeed that test, but the softness of your food before you consume it is what we're really getting to. And the last few times I've been to Taco Bell, my food has been soft as I get it. And I'm like, how did this happen? You have a taco shell. How is it now a taco soup?
Okay, now you're talking about softness of food. That's different. I just feel like when you're talking about burrito flaccidness test, it's sort of like what color tile you chose to put in your bathrooms. And I'm
well, yeah, I mean, if you don't care about it because you're like a fanboy of Taco Bell, then like, yeah, obviously you're not going to get it.
I mean, like, who cares about the burrito flaccidity?
Because that's the designation of a decent burrito, because it means like it's not soggy.
Now, soggy is not the same thing as structurally rigid.
I'm not talking about it being like a rod. I'm talking about it being able to maintain its own integrity. Like,
that sounds kind of like a rod.
A burrito from like Tamale Kitchen, you can hold and eat. Like when I eat a burrito from Taco Bell, like the top half of the burrito is falls over on my hand. Like, and that happens at Taco John's too.
Just so you know, it's on the band names list.
Okay, good.
So,
good.
Does so Del Taco follow this nonsensical system you're making up as you go right now to sound to get attention or whatever it is?
Okay, cool. Fuck you. Let's move on because Kendrick's a little butthurt now. So let's move on. He's got something in there. It's probably a Taco Bell burrito enema. And
I'm
now
just saying, like,
to move
I measure my burritos based off of whether I can bounce nickels off the bun. But it just is an arbitrary system, dude. It doesn't make any sense.
Sure. Okay, cool. Let's move on. What are we talking about now? Another silence. You didn't have another topic?
I think Sid Talk might be dead. I think
that awkward silence.
We're moving
be
on
great.
Because you don't want to hear what I have to say. So, like, let's keep moving.
I just want you to explain why the
I could spend a whole hour talking to you about how I rate taco places, and then you're just going to think it's arbitrary. So it doesn't matter.
But, I mean, like, you didn't even get into, like, the taste of the thing. You're just talking about whether it keeps the it,
yes,
erect.
I said it was one of the many criteria I used to evaluate a
you
fast
said it
food
was
place.
The main criteria you used.
No, I did not. I said it was one of them.
Sometimes
you can go back on the recording.
Nah, it was before we were recording.
God yeah, damn. That's why I changed it, bitch. That's how rhetoric works, I guess.
I suppose. Mom, Dad,
so what are you? What are we talking about now?
Kevin, you wanted to talk about fucking Paper Mario.
Yes.
And I want to hear what you had to say about it.
Yeah, we give a shit about flaccid burritos.
We could talk about
that. I don't have a dog in this fight. Talk about Mario.
No, I'm pretty stoked on this new Paper Mario game, gotta say.
Which one?
The Origami King. It's for Switch.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's a lot of fun. It's got a lot of history as far as sort of Paper Mario / Mario Luigi games go. I don't know if you ever played any of them on the 3DS, back to the DS.
Oh, yeah.
But they...
So, I missed that whole generation, and I'm sad for it now.
Yeah, it's like... Well, they're RPG games, technically. And I think this one like strays further than any of them from RPG. But, like, it's Mario in an RPG, basically. There's, like, goofy sort of battle mechanics where you meet up with an enemy and you fight them, and this one, I don't know, it's weird. You have this battle system that's like a puzzle you solve every time, but
it looked like it had like rotating rings. Is that a common thing on every battle, or is it like
every battle?
Is it like that? So remember when I was playing that one game called like My Town Hero? And sucks because like it's just basically like a shitty board game that's been digitized into a video game.
I don't think so. Although I didn't play that game,
it doesn't come off like a like mechanics that would have been done better in a game that wasn't as well themed.
No. Well, okay, I don't think so because I never played that game. But every battle
is
kind
of like
the
game itself. It's about like the idea that you had the guy who did the music from Undertale designing like a game that looked a lot like. Like a Pokemon, the Pokemon designers doing that game. And then the whole mechanics of the game were like very weak, you know?
No.
As long as the mechanics aren't weak, then I think you're good, is I guess what I'm saying.
I think it's actually, I kind of like the battles. And I think it's one of the main complaints of like the professional reviewers. But I think the puzzles of the battles are actually a lot of fun. Because it's like if you're battling plebs, like. I don't know. It's hard to... I can go into it a little bit, but basically something takes over the Paper Mario world, and they're origami people, so they fold up the paper. So that's where you get your bad guys. They fold up the good guys into origami. But these the battle sequences, which is kind of like, well, I wouldn't say like a random encounter battle system like the old Pokemon games, but you kind of end up running into people here and there, and you got to kind of
fight. Isn't that kind of how like Mario RPG is? Like you can see him on the map, but like if you run into him, you fight him.
You were saying it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mario RPG.
Okay, this is modern Mario RPG. They don't have that game anymore, but this is what it turned into. So
I knew that, but I just meant like as far as like the battle mechanic, like the battle determining who you're fighting thing.
Sure. And if you hit him with your hammer or jump on him, you do a little extra damage before the round starts. But then you have like this whole, it's like four rings, and you twist it around, and you try to line them up to where your attack does more damage, basically. Mm-hmm. So every battle is a like a kind of a puzzle. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I can get on board that. Yeah.
It's fun. Sometimes it's a little tedious with the little plebs, but then like the boss battles, it's reversed to where you're not trying to attack the plebs, you're actually trying to align your attack to attack the boss. Hmm. So it becomes a little different.
The games that like, so like they're like an RPG thing too, like because you're fighting through this game and you said it's kind of annoying when you have to do it with the plebs over and over again, but it's like, okay, I gotta move this ring and then I gotta line, and like why do I have to walk through this like every time I fight, right? Do you feel like games should give you a way to like make that easier as the game goes on, or do you feel like it cheapens the whole experience when games do that, as a general question to the group?
How do you mean?
Like they give you an upgrade that's like if it's only Goombas, then like you can do like two moves before you attack or something that makes it easier to kill them quicker, so you can like, you know, be done with that battle faster because it's not so, like a super important battle, but new enemies like keep coming in.
Well, no, that's exactly how this one is, though. That's actually how it works.
So why are the battles then tedious if that you do get these mechanics that make them faster and less like impactful in the game?
Because sometimes it's like the puzzle that you have to solve becomes incredibly difficult.
But there's, it's always just a bunch of like normal guys.
Yeah, no, they're all normal dudes, and you can break them, and you get better weapons throughout the game. Like you don't necessarily level up, but you get better weapons over time.
I guess I'm thinking like Final Fantasy, like where like you get like Phygra 3 or whatever the fire spell is, and you can like kill the stuff that used to be like hard to kill easier. You know what I'm talking about? Like Final Fantasy games?
Yeah, and actually that's how this works too, because you can get weapons that do more damage or like work better for the situation. And then you actually have something that I feel like they directly yanked from Final Fantasy, but they're called Velementals. Like elementals, but they basically just destroy everything on the board.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about then. Okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that. But the thing is you can completely avoid them most of the time. If you just, like, don't go near enemies, you don't have to fight them if you don't want to. And the cool part is like, if you don't want to fight things, like, 90% of the time you could just avoid enemies and just enjoy the storyline. It's up to you.
Interesting.
Like, you could... It benefits in a way where you can get more coins and buy better sort of weapons and stuff, but you actually, it kind of doesn't matter, so you could just enjoy the storyline.
The pacifist mode in Undertale, or is it like it's a completely different kind of experience, or is it just you don't have to do it?
Kind of like that, yeah. Well, no, okay. I kind of feel like the pacifist mode in that game is you kind of have to work to not kill anyone. You have to make sure that you do everything right to not kill anyone. This one, you can kind of avoid a lot of the enemies. Just kind of walk past them, if you want.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because they're visible, right? They're right there. I mean, it sounds like
they're there.
Earthbound rules.
Yeah, if you run away from them, you don't have to go anywhere near them, and you don't have to fight them, in a lot of cases. There's a lot of cases you do. You kind of come to an impasse where you do have to fight the enemy. But they always make it pretty clear, and it gets easier over time because you can... You can, like, pay the crowd of toads to help you out. You can, like, you have so much health that they can't kill you. It's very easy. As far as RPGs go, it's not difficult at all.
So but the mechanic that Kyle was asking about, it made me think about a mechanic in Earthbound way back when, that if you, because it was the same kind of thing, there's the enemies running around on the screen and you had to touch them, and if they saw you, they'd run at you, and you had to, if you turned to face them, you'd meet each other on even footing. If you were facing away and they got you from behind, they get a free attack. And if you got them from behind, you get a free attack, right? But if you hit each other, it would, like, the screen would go like, and then it would wait for a moment, and if you were so much more over-leveled, the screen would just flash, and then they would just die.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Or, no, like, it's as actually, you get higher level, enemies avoid you. Like, they're like, oh, shit, I'm not going to fight you. You're, like, fucking level 50, and I'm only, like, level 2. Like, let's hide in this tree or something.
It's almost all of that, actually.
Oh, cool.
Except for running away. They don't run away. But if you're higher than they are, and you smack them, so you can, you have a hammer at all times. You can just, like, smack down.
Oh, and if smack people with a hammer?
Yeah. Yeah, and if they're weak to hammer, they just die right away. You don't have to fight them. Or, nice. Since it's Mario, cool. You could just jump on them. And if they're weak to being jumped on, they're done. Regardless, though, if you hit them with a hammer or a jump attack, it immediately does damage when you get into the battle. So if they don't die right away, they get damage.
Other Mario games. Like, right,
yeah.
Mario games,
like,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Thousand Year Door did that same mechanic.
Yep, exactly.
Most of the Mario RPGs did that same kind of thing.
Yep. But in this one, if you run long enough from most of the enemies, you can just get away and not encounter them if you don't care.
Hmm.
So you just bail. But if Peace sometimes off. Sometimes if there's a few things, sometimes if they get you first, they don't damage you first, but you have to fight them for sure. And then if like there's a couple different enemies attacking you at the same time, you get into a wave battle. So you... one of them will attack you, the other one like jumps on top of your head, and then you have to go through one wave where you do the puzzle solving twisting circle thing, and if once you kill all them, you get a second wave of puzzle solving to do, if that makes sense. Yeah, but here's the thing,
is that the core of the game, like that battle?
No,
just battling or not battling?
That's what I was gonna say, is like, okay. The battling is very little part. A lot of it is like that you just go around, hit things with your hammer, and try to solve puzzles. It's like 75% puzzle solving, collecting things, and just going through the storyline. Which is the best part about it, because it's super goofy, makes fun of itself constantly, there's puns all the time. It's very aware, it's like very aware that it's that you're playing Paper Mario. So there's paper puns all the time. All the bosses are paper related.
I'm a fan of goofy ass puns myself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is so ridiculously goofy, and there's some really heartfelt times too. And it's just, I don't know. The storyline makes it worth it.
Speaking of goofy puns, and we can talk about Paper Mario more if we want, but does that Kid Dracula game you're playing have any goofy puns in it? I watched the first episode of what you guys were recording, but you guys know so much more about Castlevania than I do. That it was like watching two museum curators talking about like their favorite like dinosaur fossil, and like I'm just like,
worried.
I love dinosaurs, but like I don't know what exactly you're talking about, but I'm so happy that you guys are excited about your like what you're talking about. But like, did you think so? Hard shift, I guess, but you guys are recording a game on Quick's Play called Kid Dracula, right?
Yeah,
I will link it in this episode.
Hooray!
Probably.
Probably.
You can do the if you can link the playlist, do that, because I would estimate that the rest.
Did you make a fucking playlist yet?
I always do. I make a playlist for episode one.
What's the deal? You guys have talked about Kid Dracula, I think, a little bit on another podcast, but give us the 2 minute primer.
Sweet. Kendrick, do you mind if I jump in here? On
do
this?
It.
Okay,
it's your fucking channel, dude.
So
I don't know why I was so surly.
I don't know why you got mad at me.
I will kill you with my hands. It's your channel.
So like Kendrick even says in the episodes, like he played it for like 5 minutes, and it was like I gotta show this to Joe. I had only ever heard about Kid Dracula, And then he pointed out that it was on the Castlevania collection, which is also on the Switch.
Nice.
And we started playing it, and like it immediately just like starts out batshit insane. As far as like puns, there's not really a lot of like text or anything. It's early, like it's 1990. So there's like,
it predates Sonic the Hedgehog,
which we found was like, holy goddamn.
And you can kind of tell like it does, but yeah, it still like looks kind of, the backgrounds look really nice.
There's a section great where you got to go fast.
Yeah. That part's
which, like, I just like the Hedgehog is a knockoff of Kid Dracula.
Right at the beginning of the episode, Kendrick like just busts out the full Japanese name of Kid Dracula. Like it's like something everyone should know. And I was like, what? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I can read Jeff. I can pronounce Japanese, kind of.
It was. I was like, oh man, I'm now, because like watching you guys get excited about like walking through the levels and showing all like the Easter eggs for all that regular Castlevania games. And,
yeah,
like,
well,
all that
so
stuff was kind of cool.
That peters out pretty quick.
It does.
It goes fucking nuts.
That's the weird thing, right? Like the first level is basically an homage to the entirety of Dracula, of like the first Castlevania game. It's like the first section of the level is like the very beginning, and then like the second section's the tower, like the clock tower, and then like the last section is ascending Dracula's tower, like up to the very top, and then you have a boss fight with a KKK ghost.
KKK member, yeah, and then a bigger KKK,
and
like
then
his
a
dad.
Bigger
like
KKK,
a KKK
ghost.
Kid, and the KKK
yeah.
dad,
and like after that, they're just like, okay, we're just gonna start doing fucking level design, and they're like, we're gonna have a ice level and Egypt,
a Mega
and,
Man level,
and a
oh,
Mega
yeah,
Land,
the Mega Man one, where you're like,
and then yeah,
what? And then yeah. the witch is pooping eggs on you with big thighs.
They got
yeah, those
thighs.
Girls are thick. But like the, and then like the weird fucking gambling interludes in between.
Oh with, my god!
With the yeah. with the Mega Man X spider ladder that kept changing, so it was like,
yeah,
I don't,
you pick it and it would just change. So like picking it meant nothing. It was just gonna fucking change.
You all, suffice to say, you all should watch the episodes, because right by now they'll most of them will probably be out, right?
Yeah,
oh yeah,
yeah. Most of them, actually, probably all of them will be up by now. So we'll link the playlist that
it's
Joe
quite
apparently
the experience.
Makes
mm-hmm.
allegedly.
Yeah. And like allegedly. Just watching them go through it, I can already tell it's probably going to escalate, because by the end of the first episode, like you're not really playing a Castlevania game anymore. It's just like something else. Like,
well, yeah, it's just this weird little like shooter platformer, and it's really awesome. It's, in my opinion, it's well designed. It was a lot of fun, and it's like it has this super sharp difficulty spike right at the end of the game.
It was. Oh yeah, like that last whole level. Yeah, well, go watch it and you'll see. We got frustrated.
Yeah.
So
and I heard a lot of rewinds were used to finish it. Is what I
we
heard.
We save scummed. Save
yeah,
scumming was a thing.
There, nice. I will admit, we probably could have like powered through most of the game, without doing that, if we had like another day. But we shot that whole thing in a night. Like we started playing, and we were just captivated, and then we played it all the way till the end. And then, like, we got to that last level, and there was a part where, like, if we hadn't had save scum abilities, we would have put that off for another day.
Oh, I don't think we'd have done it. I think we'd have shit-canned it and not bothered yeah. because it was obnoxious. It was yeah. like, do all of this in one run with the same life, like, the same yeah. lives, same it health. Like, it was dumb.
I don't understand how they could have, because they start you out with this incredible, like, incredibly difficult boss fight. And then you have to go through the rest of the level. You're like, how the
You start with a boss fight that will hit that has is really easy to just peel health off of you. And then you got to run the fucking gambit of.
Don't spoil.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're already way over. I don't want to go too. I want to prep it because I was excited watching it, and I never like quicks plays, so that's a thing.
Yeah, which is weird because you helped start it, so I guess there's.
I
like, comment, and subscribe, everybody, and go check out Quick's Play as we're like 20 minutes over our 20-minute thing here, and we'll all just kill ourselves later. So
it wouldn't catch you if we did 4-minute episodes.
Want to do that?
That's okay. Suicide Pack. Don't forget to kill yourself. Kill yourself.
Kill yourself. Kill yourself.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.